Hey, Brian Phillips here with the Grace Ops Podcast. It's an honor to be back with you doing some new things, trying out StreamYard, trying out some video aspects to this. I have with me today in the studio, all the way from Kansas City, I've got Josh Thompson, who's become a friend of mine and we're going to develop a great relationship together down the road. And so, Josh, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And Josh and I have a mutual friend named Lenny LaGuardia, who's been on our podcast many times. Lenny's, you know, deeply connected to the Grace Ops culture, vision, kind of been like a father type that pulled it out of me and was like, you got to do this stuff. So I was in Kansas City a couple months ago, and I had the privilege of sitting down with Lenny, and he invited Josh to the table. So it was really awesome to sit there with Josh and to be able to hear his heart just for his life and his calling. Then we kind of started digging into Grace Ops. And we started talking about just the overall components to the Grace Ops culture. We call it the T212 culture, the Titus 212, where the grace of God, and you know, we live in that day and age where grace is kind of weakened and cheapened by immorality and by just kind of, we think it excuses us. You know, God loves me no matter what, and that's true, but he doesn't excuse us living any way we want to live in the midst of knowing his love. So his grace actually trains us to walk in a way that's holy, to actually walk in a way that actually has strength to overcome darkness. So that's the T212 culture, that Titus 212 grace is training us. So it's really all that we're about. And then in the middle of our culture, we've got the five-star charge, which is based on calling men, charging men to live a lifestyle that's based around honoring God, affection towards their family and loved ones, walking in liberty, not just in a constitutional liberty, but walking in a biblical liberty that Christ gives us on the cross, to war for the presence of God. Because if you try anything, if you try to pray, just watch what tries to stand in front of you. If you try to read your Bible, just watch the warfare. I believe that's the greatest warfare a man can face, is just get to the presence of God. And after that, you're going to be just fine. But the warfare is getting with God. And then the last one is valor, living with valor. So I'm in Kansas City, you know, enjoying times of prayer, times of, like I do, I go out there about 3-4 times a year, and I'm just enjoying this great time I have with Lenny. Lenny's like a spiritual father to me. And he's like, oh, you got to meet Josh. And I'll tell you what, Josh lit me up. Josh fired me up that day. It was like sitting next to somebody I've known for a long time. And he just spoke in to the Grace Ops culture. So I kind of want to not necessarily repeat that conversation, but relive the elements that came from it. And one of the powerful things that Josh brought up, especially pertaining to men and just our lives in general, was this whole concept of leading like a follower and following like a leader. So, Josh, I just want to welcome you to the podcast. And from however this thing turns out from here, we'll just depend on the Holy Spirit to steer us and direct us. But why don't you just share your heart, what's on your mind? Let's just dig into this content here that we've got and have a good time.
Well, thanks. I'm really happy to be a part of this. And yeah, when Lenny said that he had a friend coming in town, Lenny always has a friend coming in town.
That's true.
But he's like, Lenny's been kind of like a father to me, especially over the past couple of years myself. And I'm kind of putting myself in his sphere as much as I possibly can and wanting to learn from him and glean from his life and be under his leadership and get some discipleship under him. And yeah, I'm 35 years old. I've been pastoring for a while, but he's a guy that I really want to align myself to. And I'm really happy. So when you came to town and we decided we were going to have coffee that morning, when he shared just a little bit about what Grace Ops was, but really just set you up to share. And my heart has been really connected to that vision and that message, because I do believe the Lord has on his heart a generation of men that are going to be raised up to live holy and righteous before him, to take the word and have it written on hearts, and to be inspired by truth, to gaze at the glory of God and be empowered to walk in the power that he's promised us. And I was really connected to the five-star charge that when you brought that up, especially the affection part. I feel like the blessing of the Lord is going to be emphasizing especially. But it was weird, I wouldn't say weird, because anything that the Spirit does is good. But so as we're sitting there and you're sharing, sometimes the Lord will just put phrases into my heart, especially about whoever I'm talking to. And the phrase, follow like a leader, lead like a follower, those two are interchangeable, just resonated within me. And I felt like this is something that the Lord is going to be emphasizing for men in this generation. But I think it's especially connected to Grace Ops. And so when I think about, and I've been kind of diving into it and asking the Lord, what does this mean? What is this? How does this apply? You know, I don't want to just give a word and be like, well, there it is. Take your own interpretation and let it be. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if I have a word, I'm also a steward of it as well, as the one that receives it, as the one that gives it. So when the Lord was speaking to me these things for you, as I went back and dove back in, the Lord was emphasizing, and under the banner of follow like a leader, Matthew 16. And Jesus said in verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the phrase follow like a leader, it's, I see the one that I'm following, first and foremost, Jesus. I've given my life to him, and it's a call to other men to do the same. But in a place of following his leadership, submitting ourselves to the governance of our good shepherd, that actually is a place of leadership that we as men have. Actively following is an act of leadership. Inviting other people to do what the Lord's calling them to do is an act of leadership. And when the Lord gives the invitation to pick up our cross and follow him, it's one of the greatest invitations that anybody has ever given. And we as lovers of Jesus, as disciples, as the sheep of his flock, have this opportunity. And then following like a leader leads to leading like a follower. And the Lord said in John 13:35, he said, by this you will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, and that we talked about this that day as well. But it all comes down to 1 Timothy 1:5. And this verse, 1 Timothy 1:5, has been on my heart in a really fiery, powerful way over these past couple of months. And basically, Paul tells Timothy, the goal of our instruction is this. And I'll go into the verse a little bit later, but that phrase at the beginning of it really just kind of gripped me.
I want to throw something out there too.
Sure. Because
I know we're getting ready to shift into some really powerful material here, but just your upfront comments, what I love about the concept of following, like leading like a follower, is exactly right. Because there's really, in the kingdom, there's only one leader, and that's Christ himself. So it's really, we're, you know, small leaders under him, or shepherds under the shepherd, whatever, however you want to look at it. But I think it's important because, you know, you run into men, like men struggle in the areas of just knowing their identity, knowing their purpose. You know, there's guys that probably are in jobs right now that still don't fully feel connected to their purpose and their identity. And it's actually really simple on the one hand, you know, and on the other hand, it could be a little harder. But I like what you said about, you know, denying yourself, taking up the cross, connecting it to that Matthew chapter, that statement from Christ, because when we take on this charge, you know, so take the charge of Christ, deny yourself, follow me. And we've kind of taken the biblical masculinity, put in the language of the five-star charge. When we take a charge like that and we actually step into it, that is becoming a leader. You know, you start leading yourself, you start following the one who leads, and then you start leading those around you with your influence. I mean, I just wanted to point that out because sometimes we think leadership is going through a school or it's going through, and it is. I mean, you can be trained. Obviously, we need to grow and mature in leadership and in our callings and our assignments and walk in a manner worthy of our calling. But the very simplistics of it is that you could decide today to follow Christ more specifically, prioritize that, you know, grab the five-star charge, grab some of these concepts we're talking about, and then let him lead you. And then in turn, you're going to be a leader. And I just think that's powerful that you put it that way, because a lot of people would overlook that. Like, well, I don't have a big social media platform, or I'm not famous, or, you know, they think leadership is about fame, and it's really about being faithful to Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a good point that you bring up there. And I want to inspire men all across this country to dig into their purpose and their identity and start taking these small steps that lead to powerful places, you know?
Right. I mean, it is wild how a lack of leadership creates such a vacuum that anybody that knows where they're wanting to go.
Bro, that's the word you said at the table that day.
Yeah.
That's the word you said, vacuum. Yeah, okay. I like it.
I mean, if you've seen these movies about, you know, end of the world type stuff or disaster scenarios, there's just people panicking and staying where they are. And I feel like for a lot of society and culture in our world today, the circumstances of life cause people to just panic where they are. But in, you know, if you see these movies, there's somebody that's going somewhere, people just start following them, even if they don't know where they're going. And how powerful is it that we, as sons and daughters in the light, know where we're going? And if we start going there just to follow his leadership, we can inspire people to come alongside of us and do it with us, because there's something so powerful about being convinced. And the Holy Spirit that's what he's wanting to do, to convince our hearts of the truth. But bringing us along with him, following behind him, is going to inspire people to do it too. And, you know, there's the famous quote, preach the gospel, use words if necessary.
Yeah.
And if we're walking out the invitations, and if we're pursuing, I love the five-star charge. If we're going after honor, if we're going after loving one another, our families, our wives, if we are walking in liberty and freedom, not only in our thoughts and our minds, but our lives, if we're walking in real freedom and we're not being hindered by shame and condemnation, if we're going after spiritual warfare and taking hold of the truth and applying it to our hearts, and we are living in a way that is honoring to the Lord, we are men of valor, the Lord could do something amazing in this generation. And I believe that he will.
Hey, unpack for just give me a minute on, you said, if we're not walking in shame and condemnation, how do you think that impacts or becomes an obstacle to us? Like, talk about that.
Yeah. Well, shame separates. Condemnation separates. We were made, every person alive was made to dwell in unity. It's the Psalm 133, how blessed is it when brothers dwell together in unity, both unity with each other and unity with the Lord. If we are walking in a place of being connected with each other, then there's accountability, there's strength. A strand of three cords is not easily broken. But if shame, it's really not even if, often for me and for us, it's when shame gets introduced into our heart because of a failure or a slip up, sin, you name it. First and foremost, our heart's reaction to sin and failure is to separate ourselves. And if you allow your heart to be separated from the Lord, from other people because of failure, that's where shame can really take the joy away from your life. And when condemnation and shame begin to take root and really grow, it really, in a long-term way, can separate you from God and make you feel like you're not good enough to be around friends, and you want to, you'd rather just stay alone. But when we are taking the word of God as truth, and we are allowing his word to divide our soul from our spirit, and our spirit becomes alive, and our spirit man looks at our soul and says, no, you will come into alignment with the word of God. That's where the power of shame and condemnation is broken. The lie of the enemy is not able to define our lives. We allow ourselves and we submit to the Lord's leadership and say, no, Lord, I want your word to define my life. I want your truth to define my life. I believe, and really this is the key, I believe that your blood is powerful enough to cleanse me from my sin. That I don't need to put myself in a timeout. I don't need to go and separate myself until I figure myself out.
Wait 3 days to come back.
Yes. And it's not like we could even do it anyway, to be honest. the best that I could possibly produce is garbage. Right. You know? And
I think coming out of what you're saying, because this kind of matches that T212 culture of renouncing ungodliness and worldly passions, like you're saying, that when we believe the word, like you've so greatly described, then it leads into godly living. And when you begin to live godly and you begin to form godly character and virtue, not that you're perfect. I mean, I think repentance is a daily, we always got to be kind of tilling the soil of our hearts, you know. Not making stuff up, you know, we can live holy and upright, you know, but when we get a track record and we start getting camaraderie, we start getting this synergy going in our lives where we're actually living in victory, you know, overcoming, like, you know, I think about overcoming pornography, right? It's like, we're overcoming anything, right? Could be your eating habits, could be just some stupid thing that you do, whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be sinful. It could just be wasting time, you know, whatever. But any type of habit that we'd want to overcome, that's why I like the T212 culture, because it focuses on renouncing two parts death, but living three parts life. So the greater emphasis is on living, coming alive. And like what you're saying, I think what you pointed out was great, because it's breaking shame, like identifying shame. You know, shame can come from stuff other people speak over you. It can come from just like what you're saying, like what you're agreeing with. And when we look at the word and we're like, no, this is what the scripture says, or even when we say, hey, I'm going to lead like I'm going to follow like a leader, right? I'm going to lead like a follower. And so I'm going to follow the one who I've set my heart upon. I'm going to follow the one, and I'm going to let his voice speak over me. I mean, I think dealing with shame and guilt is a big thing. And learn to identify it, forgiving yourself, breaking the power of all this stuff, and then building a track record of godly living. You know, not that we're perfect. You know, I joke around all the time and I say that yoga pants is the worst thing to happen to mankind, you know, and, cause it you know, I meet all these hyper spiritual people, and sometimes I look at them like, you know, they're like live wires. They're always holding on to the live wire. And I'm like, dude, I get it. I want the live wire too. I want to live that way, but I also want to live authentically. And I want to have a comrade or two or three in my life that I can open my heart to and say, hey, help me, man. I struggled, or I'm not living up to the godly lifestyle God called me to. I mean, you know, I think we've made accountability a hard thing to do sometimes, and we just make it about dumping our trash. You know, it's like, it's way more than that. It's about living upright, and it's about, let's take that upswing. And I'm not speaking across the board, but I'm just saying my own experience. But anyway, I like what you said and what you brought out. And I know we want to dive into 1 Timothy 1:5. So however you want to transition, jump into that, or bring us there.
If you don't mind, I want to just emphasize one thing that you said about a minute ago about repentance, and then jump back into that. I think repentance in conjunction with relationship, that's what makes Christianity realistic. When you can go with a brother and say, I messed up here, I did this, but really believing that when you confess, when you repent, when you say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore, you pray with a brother, then you are at that very moment as clean as if the blood of Jesus just washed you in that moment.
Yeah.
That's how we can live free. That's how we can walk free. That's how liberty becomes the banner over our life. It is repentance. I love that you brought that up. And so jumping back into 1 Timothy 1, here Paul is writing to Timothy, and this phrase, he says, this is the goal of our instruction. This is the goal. And I feel like I've read, you know, all of the Pauline epistles several times, and they're good, and you pick out these things. But this year, this phrase just really took a hold of me. And if Paul is going to simplify the entirety of his teaching and instruction into this, then I feel like, man, I need to really pay attention to this. I need to really take hold of this. So he says, the goal of our instruction is love. It all comes down to love. And he gives these qualifiers. Love from a pure heart, from a good or clean conscience, and from a sincere faith. And these three standards of our heart, these three pillars of love in a Christian, in a follower of Christ, they really cover every area. And it's the intentions. It's what I'm wanting to do. It's what I'm choosing to do. That his love has actually transformed me. This is the sign that love has actually taken root in our heart, that we would desire to live holy. We would desire to be righteous. And from that place, we can actually dwell in freedom from a good conscience or a clean conscience. That what was formerly dirty, what was formerly stained and disgusting, even our filthy rags are the best that we could come up with before the Lord. But when he cleaned us, we can actually come before him with a love that actually empowers us in freedom, that our conscience is clean. And, you know, early in my marriage, really in my Christian walk, dealing with besetting sin and pornography and the things that entangle, there's a big difference between then and now, where I've gone through the process of healing, and I've come before the Lord in honesty, and I've gone before my wife with honesty, and now walking in freedom, it feels so much different. Yeah. It does. And you know, there's something so powerful, and it's the daily blessing of my life. I can look at my wife without shame, without secret. And I can't always say that. I mean, I can now, but before I couldn't say that. You know, if I had, you know, messed up and looked at something the night before, or I had, you know, messed up and done whatever, the next day with my wife, I felt so low and so unworthy and so dirty. But since walking in freedom for these past few years, going every day and knowing there's nothing between us, this is just me and my wife, it has empowered me to love her at a deeper level. It's empowered me to serve her at a deeper level. It's empowered me to enjoy my kids at a deeper level. And it's really the same way in my relationship with the Lord, where I'm not putting myself in timeout. I'm not putting myself in the corner and trying to figure my stuff out. Repentance really has taken such a hold of my life and my heart. And I really do believe that as soon as I come before him, as soon as I repent, as soon as I turn, he has made me as clean as if the blood of Jesus was washing me in that very moment. And we can live in that reality. And it's just powerful and enjoyable. It makes Christianity, it makes relationship with Jesus enjoyable like it never has been before.
Yeah, and I've been walking in my faith journey for 25 years, easily, maybe a little more than that, maybe 27 or so. And I've spent the majority of that, no matter what my assignment was, reaching men. So stepping into Grace Ops and focusing on men is very natural in my life. But I love this verse, the aim. So the ESV on my end says the aim of our charge is love that mm-hmm. issues from a pure heart. And, you know, I've talked to parents or even just I've always centered walking in the liberty of Christ as, you know, like what kind of filter can you put on your phone? Well, you can put a bunch of them on your phone, right? And I would advise you to, because those are good little triggers to put in place or safeguards. You know, your computers or whatever your issue is that you're dealing with. But it's really the heart. It's really an issue of the heart, you know. So, you know, and yeah, when we get tired, we got to kind of know our cycles, or if our blood sugar drops, or we're up against some kind of stressful, anxious anxiety that could trigger us into fear or being alone, and then trying to medicate ourselves with some kind of foreign past flesh type thing. You know, we got to kind of break into that cycle and, you know, rewire the brain some, but I love this. It's like this is as ancient as, you know, a couple thousand years. And it's like, have a pure heart. You should aim to have a pure heart. I'm charging you. And he's actually bringing this up in the midst of false teaching. You know, there's false teachers out there. There's false doctrines. And I've brought this up before in different episodes, but I like Gordon Ramsay. I just like watching the guy. He's very passionate, and everybody's like, oh, he's a jerk. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, he has some tough ways about him, but he's actually really he's a really nice guy, because he actually cares about your business. He actually cares about the standard. And so when you watch him operate, it's always about the standard of cleanliness and the standard of passion, the standard of the food. You know, why did you send this out? It didn't hit the standard. And I really feel like across the board in the church world, we've lowered the standard. We watered down the standard. And I feel like this passage is like one of those, it's a standard bearer, you know. It's like, this is the aim of our charge. There's a lot of false things in culture, false things. And it's so simple. It's like, you know, we're talking about leading like a follower, and we're saying, hey, follow Christ. And then Paul comes along and he's charging us, you know, the aim of our charge, because he made this charge in the midst of false prophets. And he's like, love from a pure heart, love God from a pure heart, love your peers from a pure heart. And then it leads to a good conscience, right? Love with a good conscience, and be able to sleep at night, be able to have peace about your life, you know, and then to actually have a sincerity in your faith. And what I love about the word faith is I always think of the word emunah. It's the Hebrew word for faithful. And about 90% of the time that we see the usage of it in the New Testament is referring to a sincere, you know, so we could say a sincere faithfulness, you know, that we would be faithful to the one we're following and to this. And believers have to come alive in this. And this, like, how long have you been meditating on 1 Timothy 1:5? That's intriguing to me.
Really since about November, right after Thanksgiving time.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cause really it's convicting. And I want to weigh my own heart against the word. I want to weigh my own heart against the principles of the apostolic teaching, you know. And Paul obviously is a hero to almost everyone in the faith. And if I feel my heart veering off, then my goal in life is to align myself back to truth under the power of the Holy Spirit, because I can't do it myself. But when I feel my heart veering, I want sincerely to align myself to truth. I want truth to be the anchor, the plumb line, the hedging in on the path. And really, in seasons where I feel like and I perceive that my heart is not lining up to these things, it gives me a place to pray. It gives me a goal to aim for. It gives me a point that I say, Holy Spirit, these are the things that I value in my heart. These are the things that I want to go after. And I believe and really know these are the things that you're wanting to bring forth in me. And man, it's been enjoyable, but it's also been sobering. And you know, I want to be a man of God that is complete. You know, Paul says in actually 2 Timothy 3, and he says the word of God is profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I'm wanting to align my heart to the word in that way, because I know that I'm not going to be complete until the Lord comes back, or I meet him in the sky, or I meet him in heaven, or whatever. But I want my walk to be headed that in that direction. You know, I want to follow the shepherd as closely as I can, because I know that he's going to walk me in the path of life.
And it's such a simple charge that Paul makes in the midst of dealing with the false.
Yeah.
And he's actually doing this in the context of believers who are getting involved in what he's describing as vain discussions, which is actually leading them away from the faith, leading them to just leading them out. And I've been serving Christ for 25 plus years, gave my life to Christ when I was 17. And so I've seen that happen to friends. I've seen friends who at one time we'd pray together, we'd study the Bible together. You know, they went this way, I went that way. God called us a different thing. I mean, I've seen believers commit suicide over this type of stuff. Like, they got into vain discussions. They went down these weird paths, like good people, like powerful people. And Paul's like, you know, and you're like marinating in this, the simplicity of Paul's charge to all of us as men and as believers is to live with a pure heart. And that's at the very center, you know, of what we're aiming the T212 culture at, the Grace House. Everything is about that. It's about the pure heart and living before God with a pure heart, living before man with a pure heart. And so, and I just think about the day and age that we live in, you know, because you said something earlier and I remembered it, that Kansas City talk we had about the vacuum. Because there was a season I went through just recently. I mean, I was at a one thing a good number of years ago, probably the second to the last one thing. And I'll never forget, we're in the worship time. I'm like, Lord, I don't have time to do Grace Ops. I'm just going to sacrifice it right now to you and just kill it. Like, it's done. I don't have time to do all this. The world's going to end, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the next day, literally the next morning or whatever, I was in another worship set and the Lord was like, you know, nice try, but I really want you to do these. I really want you to run in this, you know? And so I was like, okay, I'll pick it back up. And I've wrestled with that. Like, was there really enough time, or what's, you know, we're too late, you know, we missed it or whatever. And the Lord's like, no, you're exactly on time. And it's interesting because you're talking about vacuums, and I don't think Grace Ops is the only thing. God's doing a lot of cool things with men in this day and age, but we live in think about it, right? We live in an epidemic right now of fatherlessness. That's the real pandemic of the world, is fatherlessness. Yeah. And we're going to help charge men. Oh man, there's just a lot of work to do, a lot of men to reach. And literally, we've already had more than 2,000 or 3,000 men come into some of our social media connections, and we're not even really trying that hard, you know, so it's just exciting. We're kind of at the end of our time here, so I just want to highlight the fact that I really appreciate you. I'm definitely going to be bringing you back on in future episodes. We're actually going to Kansas City October 1st and 2nd to do a Man of War men's advance, Grace House men's advance out there. And I just think it's going to be a powerful time. I mean, really, when I look at what we do, is we worship God as men together, like literally worship. I call it worship by song, because really everything you do is worship. But we're going to come together. We're going to get fired up in worship. We're going to dive into the field manuals that we create for these advances. And we're just going to go in and let the Holy Spirit encourage us and build us. And we call it the anvil. We're going to crash into the anvil of the 5-star charge and let the Lord continue to forge us and shape us, you know. But Josh, I really am encouraged when I meet younger guys like you who are sharp, love God, you know, you're very passionate about the message of the gospel. You're one of those guys who's like a standard bearer. You know, you're going to help repair the standard that we've really broken in the church culture at large. So
I received that word.
Man. So if you got any closing thoughts, fire them off. It's been great to have you with us today.
Yeah. In closing, I want to just encourage anybody that's listening to this to pursue the Lord with all your heart, and He will make your path straight. He will lead you to Himself. If you open your mouth and ask the Lord for truth, you ask Him for help, He will meet you there. And I am so convinced that His heart is for a generation of men to come forth and to love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to give the strength of their lives to the pursuit of the glory of God, to love each other, to love our families. I'm convinced that He's going to do it in this generation. So bless the Lord. It's not my idea. It's all His. And I think Grace Off is going to be a key part of what the Lord does in the lives of many men. And I'm asking for 1,000 ministries like this across the earth.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would empower men and women, you know, similar expressions for women too, to really just pursue the Lord in this way. So, yeah, I bless you, bro. Bless you in this work. I'm happy to be a part of it. And bless the Lord for being so faithful to lead us in the way that only He can.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, man. And I want to remind you to go to graceops.net. Check out our website. You can actually take the 5-star charge right on our website, and you'll see one of our logos drop kind of in your region. So help us fill up the map, but more importantly, devote yourself to the charge. And we look forward to seeing you at a future event or in some way, shape, or form. God bless you.